Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
Marissa Streit, I'm the CEO of PragerU. I'm from here, Los Angeles, California. We produce PragerU, all the videos that we make for four-year-olds all the way to 104-year-olds, really giving it an opportunity for everybody to hear a perspective that they're likely not hearing in many schools. And our goal is to really allow people to pursue life, liberty, and happiness, which is really the American dream. Like, hear multiple perspectives, discern and make your own decisions, and just live a happy, meaningful life.
Very good. Do you mind if we jump straight into some student questions?
Let's do it. And I just want to say, I, you know, there's some people who may not know me or may have read about me. And so my commitment to any of you, especially students, is even if you don't agree with me, I'm totally okay with it. And so go ahead and ask any question you want. I will not attack you. I will not make you feel uncomfortable. My goal is to just give you a perspective and hear your perspective. And so let's engage in civil discourse in a great conversation about how maybe some of my experiences can help you enrich your own life. And so that is my commitment to you, is just, I'm a complete open book. You can ask me anything and it comes without any judgment.
Well, we thank you so much for clarifying that. And I don't think there's too many hard-hitting questions with these middle schoolers and high schoolers, but we're going to dig right into it. So one of our kids, they wanted to know about your experience in military intelligence and how did that influence your career path in life?
So those of you who read about my background, I'm an American. I was born here in the United States. I'm raising three kids here in the United States. The U.S. is my country. When I was 7 years old, I had an opportunity to move with my mother to Israel, and I was raised there as an American. And then I was invited to serve in the Israeli military in the intelligence forces. And it was really one of the best educations I could ever receive. And one of the reasons why it was so special was because you're dealing with a real life situation. It's not fully academic. It's real life, and there are real consequences to the decisions and the deliverables that I had to give when I was 18 years old. And so they trained me to have discernment and to be able to look at things and poke at things and really melt a bunch of disciplines into one. And so if you think about it, when you're learning math or you're learning literacy, you're kind of learning it as these kind of like horizontal pieces, but they oftentimes don't all connect. But life, everything is all connected. Math and literacy and just action-oriented decision-making. And so when I served in intelligence, I had to take all of that. I had to take a little piece of what we saw on the internet and a little piece of what I learned in math. And I have the reading comprehension if I was reading something, and really have to blend it all into one piece and then have an instinct to make a certain decision. And it was such a gift to be able to do that at age 18. Almost like if you started a business at age 18, you would have to kind of melt a bunch of different projects and disciplines and things that you learned and try into one piece and learn how to maximize that. That's what I had to do for Israeli intelligence. And so having that training to be able to look at life as really interconnected ideas and interconnected experiences allowed me to, I think, become probably a better entrepreneur and have better instinct and discernment.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. So I kind of wanted to ask this because you have a background in education, and, you know, we see, you know, in this position where we're dealing with kids all over the world, and there's definitely a difference as far as how education is being administered in other countries versus here in America. Did you see it more of like a bureaucratic kind of thing where they're kind of checking boxes with like, you know, standards-based education or teaching towards the test? Like, what was your experience as an educator?
You know, my experience as an educator, but especially I would say as a CEO, right? We have about 150 employees, right? And so I'm hiring people who are coming out of Ivy Leagues. And one of my biggest concerns is that which I discussed earlier, is the lack of ability to discern or develop an instinct. Because if you only teach for the test, or if you're only teaching a specific discipline, it doesn't really echo what life is about, because life is, again, a melting pot of multiple disciplines, right? If you have a responsibility, you can't just think in terms of literacy. You can't just think in terms of math. You have to think in terms of everything together. And my criticism of America's education system is that we teach like an assembly line, as opposed to teaching the way life works, which is a multidisciplinary melting of multiple issues. I mean, just take the example of teaching by grades, right? Like when my employees, they're not all the same ages, they're multiple different ages, right? But a classroom, you're spending the first, you know, what, 12 years of your life only with people of your specific age. And then you're thrown into the workforce where you're suddenly dealing with people of different ages. You're suddenly dealing with multiple disciplines. And so, you know, really my criticism of so much of what America is doing, where you're teaching for the test, as opposed to having maybe a project that you're working on, maybe an invention. Like, what if we started teaching with thinking about problems or conundrums of issues, of problem solving? That will really allow you to draw on what you will need later on in life, as opposed to teaching for the test. And I think that for schools or students who have an opportunity to say, okay, well, obviously I do need to learn the notes, right? I need to learn how to read. I need to learn how to do basic math. But can I take that extra step and say, well, now that I know how to read, now that I know math, now that I know science, now that I know computer science, can I take all of those disciplines and figure out a way to have them work together? Can I create a project that is allowing my brain to build the sophistication, to create the fibers between those different disciplines? Because that, as an employer, I will tell you, is the great differentiator. When I'm able to actually hire somebody who can wear multiple hats, they're a more valuable employee, right? I can see that because they're able to be given a project as opposed to be given a test that I'm specifically spelling out for them what they need to learn. Like, what if I gave you a challenge and I said to you, solve this challenge with all the different ideas that you have in your mind, with your different capabilities, as opposed to me saying, you know, here are the specific tasks that I want you to complete. And if you complete those tasks, you will pass the test, right? That's how we're treating our education system, as opposed to putting challenges in front of people. And so when I can hire somebody who says to me, give me the challenge and not a list of tasks, I say to myself, wow, that person is exceptional. That person can do more, because I don't have to chew and puree the task for them. They can become a problem solver, not just a machine that can be programmed.
That's brilliant. And that's interesting that you say that. I mean, this question comes from me, and I'll get back to the student questions. But I've followed a lot of your work. And guys, if you haven't checked it out, check out PragerU.com. Follow them on socials. A lot of great content. But would you say that with these new generations coming up, and all these different influences, when they come out of these very politically biased universities, would you say it's more that they come to you as not with solutions, but more with just problems? Is that kind of like a difficulty, would you say, from your perspective?
I think the difficulty is not necessarily political. I think we have a culture that is right now teaching and celebrating victimhood. You know, look, my mom was born and raised in Morocco. Right? Life was tough for her. And I have many family members that life was tough. You know, I'm a product of divorced parents. Like, you know, there's a lot of suffering in the world, right? And I don't think I'm speaking to little children here, so I can be honest about it. Like, there's hardship. We all have hardship. But what I'd like to say to my kids and my students is, yes, there is hardship, but being a victor is what matters, not being a victim. But if you spend 4 years in college and where you're taught how to find the victim within yourself, it really creates a sense of despair, right? Not a sense of, I can be a winner. I can wake up tomorrow and I can conquer this. Yes, I have my calluses. I had my experiences, negative experiences too. But what if I said nobody emerges from hell empty-handed? What if I take those things that I went through that were so difficult and I actually turn that into a stepping stone, because that just made me even stronger, even more capable, even more driven? Like, I know what perseverance looks like because I went through that as a child. Like, what if we infuse that into our into the next generation? This is not a, this should not be a political statement, right? And so, look, the issue is that if the schools are teaching you to think of yourself in terms of an oppressed and to celebrate the oppressed, right? Instead of celebrating the winner, we're celebrating the oppressed. But let's turn that upside down. Let's turn every student into winner. Let's turn every person into one who is seeking the winner within themselves, not the victim within themselves. Then we'll have higher literacy rates. We'll have more entrepreneurs. We'll have better mathematicians. We'll have better human beings, right? People who feel like they're winners are better human beings. They're happier. They're more satisfied. They're more driven. They're less depressed, because when you're driven, you're not as depressed. So to me, it's not a political conversation. It's a cultural conversation. Our culture is celebrating the wrong thing.
That's a good point. What is the quote? The hottest fire forges the hardest steel. And so, you know, you hit the nail on the head with that one. I got a question emailed to me from France, and one of the students wanted to know, how do you measure the impact of PragerU's content on young minds and the broader community?
So we do have digital measures. We have a data team that measures the number of views that we have and the number of subscribers that we have, the number of supporters that we have. I mean, it's incredible. We have 350,000 donors from around the world, like people who really fund this organization. PragerU is not funded by a bunch of billionaires. It's really funded by people who benefit from the content that we make and feel like we've enriched them in their lives. When we have, you know, we had 2 billion views last year. We had 27 million unique visitors to the PragerU website. And so those are some of the data analytics of how we measure just our impact. But for me personally, the way I can tell whether we're doing the right thing is when we receive emails from people who say, you have bettered my lives, right? When people say, there is something that I watched at PragerU that changed my perspective. We got an email about a year ago that I still think about all the time. A young guy said that he had no relationship with his parents. And after watching PragerU videos, he accepted that his parents have some flaws. He accepted that he has some flaws. But he found peace and built a relationship with his family, and now his parents are in his life. That to me is better than any math lesson I could ever teach, right? Being able to come together with your family. And I can think of thousands of those examples of how we brought family, peace, happiness, self-acceptance, right? Accepting who you are, motivating people to start businesses or hearing and seeking another perspective. Those to me are the biggest victories when we receive those emails.
Now, you've dedicated your life to saving America from a lack of common sense. I mean, I've read and followed all your stuff. One of the kids from Spain, they wanted to know, what are some of the biggest challenges you faced as CEO in your current position?
So I would say that my biggest challenges are always my biggest rewards. It's just amazing how it works that way, right? Like God puts these like big obstacles in front of us and we complain about it. And we say, why is this happening to me? And then you look back and you say to yourself, wow, this happened to me because it made me stronger and happier and more fulfilled and more accomplished and all of that stuff. And so I have so many of those examples. One example is when YouTube started censoring our videos in 2016. And I was like, why? Why would you censor our videos? We had a video from the Ten Commandments that was titled Do Not Murder. And so YouTube basically said, well, you use the word murder and therefore we have to censor this video because murder is a bad thing. I mean, guys, I mean, again, I know you're not little children. You know what's on YouTube. You know what's on there. And of all the videos that they want to censor is a PragerU video that says, thou shall not murder by PragerU from the Ten Commandments. It's that mind-boggling. And so when I looked at that, I felt at first a huge sense of despair, a huge sense of frustration, like how could this happen? And then we looked at it again and we said, we're going to turn those lemons into lemonades. And we just created this huge campaign bringing awareness of big tech censorship. And so actually our campaign on big tech censorship put us on the map and actually increased our viewership. I think we accumulated another 1 million followers directly onto PragerU, all because of that censorship. And so It's just another lesson in one of those things where it's like the things that seem like these massive obstacles in front of you right now turn out to be the greatest blessings. And so I've actually learned, I have this practice that I have that when I'm incredibly frustrated, the team here, we call it the pit of despair. When I'm in this pit of despair, I just say, you know what? I'm going to sit in here for a minute and I'm going to look around and I'm going to feel like, why I'm in this pit? What can I learn from it? How can that chisel me? How do I come out of this victorious, right? What can I learn from this? I'm just telling you, honestly, every single time I do that, I look at it a year later and say, you know what? I'm going to send a bouquet of flowers to whoever did that to me.
Man, big brother strikes again, but you definitely turned the tables on them. Good job. So we'll go with a couple more student questions and we'll let you go. One of the kids here in the States, they wanted to know, how do you stay informed and updated on the latest trends?
Oh my God. What a question. What a question.
You constantly have content coming out. How do you guys do it? You must have a massive.
What a question. I mean, you know what? I can't see who asked this question, but it's really the question of our era, right? Like, what news can you trust? What information can you trust? And if you're like me and you're following online and you're seeing the amount of, you know, fake propaganda that is out there, especially with the power of AI, where you don't even know who's saying what anymore, and you're going to see more of that over the next few years. I mean, the word discernment could not be more important, right? It is so important that you've developed that sophistication that I was talking about earlier, right? That's the ability to synthesize, to have discernment, to have instinct, because you're going to be lied to, and you're not going to know who to believe. You're going to see the stuff on YouTube, and it's going to look like somebody you followed in the past, but then it sounds a little weird, and who's really impacting them? And so when it comes to news and information, who can you trust, right? Like, and what can you trust? And what are the sources that you can trust? It's also why I feel so strongly about creating this platform, PragerU, because we do some of that vetting. And you're right, we have 150 employees here. And before we bring them on, we do our, you know, I mean, it's a ton of work, but we try to do the best work we can to make sure that the people that we bring on here are credible. And, you know, like every media institution or any educational institution, even PragerU will have its misses, right? Like, we can't have 100% of every person we bring on to be trustworthy forever. And so that's going to happen as well. But I don't really know the answer, certainly if this video remains evergreen, of who you can always trust. You can trust yourself. Just do as much work as you can. Read the alternative perspective and try, by reading both sides, try to discern what actually makes sense. Tap into your common sense. Have conversations with people that helps you kind of like get the engine flowing. Real face-to-face conversations with people will allow you to tap into your human instinct, which I think is very important. You know, and for me, I will rely on the timeless wisdom of the Bible, because so much of what we're going through today, while it feels incredibly new, the human interactions, the fight between good and evil, those things are not new. And so you want to kind of like take timeless wisdom and read original sources and apply some of that to help you discern truth versus false.
History is cyclical. You know, it comes in full circle over and over again, and it never changes. And I love that you're touching on that. Is it cool if we go with two more student questions and let you go?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
One of the kids, they wanted to know, what are the future goals for PragerU? I mean, you guys are constantly moving the line, you know, moving it up. So what do you guys have on the horizon?
Yeah, well, we currently make 40 pieces of brand new content every single week. It's almost hard to imagine that we're going to do more. But, you know, we're here to serve as a nonprofit. We're really driven by what we feel the audience and you know, pro-liberty people around the world need. And so we're tuned in to what people want and need. We launched PragerU Kids only a couple of years ago because we realized that so many children are not receiving these important messages of being winners and entrepreneurship and loving liberty, all of that stuff. And so we launched that project. It's hard for me to say, because as a tech junkie entrepreneur, I know that we're going to keep inventing new things. And I think that any tech junkie entrepreneur who tells you that they know for sure what they're going to do over the next 10, 20 years is either lying to you or is really kind of not aware of how technology works. As there's new technology and new innovation, we're always sitting on the cusp of what else we can do with this with, you know, the innovations that we're seeing out there. But, you know, my commitment is to our values. And as long as we can spread our values and do a lot of good and bring happiness and sanity and to as many people as possible, we're going to try to meld that with technology and offer more things. So I'm sure there's more to come. But, you know, technology is what's going to help me make that discernment.
Yeah, absolutely. And guys, if you haven't already, check out PragerU.com. There's a lot of common sense stuff on there. Me as a parent, I have my son watch the stuff as well. So our final question, I ask this of all of our guests, is there any advice, Marissa Strite, do you have any advice for these students as they go off into the world and figure out kind of what path they want to lead?
You know, my advice is it's one step at a time. You know, I oftentimes get overwhelmed too. When we started PragerU 13 years ago, I didn't know it will turn into this behemoth that I'm describing. And so I kind of vision my career as this mountain, and I don't know at what rate I'm going to climb it. And I don't even know what's at the top of the mountain. I just start taking one step at a time. And so if you're at the beginning of your career, don't feel like you have to make a decision right now what the rest of your career is going to look like. Now, obviously, if you want to be a doctor and you have to, you know, put in many years of studying, yeah, that's one thing. But it's okay to take one goal at the time and not get overwhelmed by this idea that you have to make that decision, right? You might invent something one day that is totally new. I think so many new careers are going to be invented in the next few years. And so you may not even know where that's going to what's going to happen. Your first job should not be your hobby. Figure out what you're good at and figure out what people are willing to pay you for. And that will simply be your next step up that mountain. And, you know, maybe the following job will be more of your hobby, more of something that you enjoy, more of a discovery into what are the blessings that you have and what you're able to do. One step at a time, take the opportunity that's presented to you, that's in front of you, and just keep climbing that mountain. And hopefully when you're in your 40s, you'll be looking down, you'll say, wow, now I realize what I'm meant to do. But you may not be. You might be in your 60s. One of my very, very close friends, I'll just share with this one thing because I think about this all the time. Bernie Marcus has been a mentor to me. He's the founder of Home Depot. Bernie Marcus started Home Depot when he was almost 50 years old. Right? And so he didn't figure out what he's meant to do until his 50s. And so if Bernie started in his 50s, I think all of us have enough time to still figuring out what our next steps are.
Brilliant advice. Brilliant advice. So thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. Before I let you go, traditionally I allow everyone to unmute and then I'll end the meeting for all. Can we all say thank you to Marissa Strite for taking time out of her valuable day to come talk to you guys. Thank you so much. We appreciate you greatly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.